Good evening to all my boon companions out there in the boon-iverse. I realized just now that after having submitted 2 10-minute-long diatribes, in which I did very little except vent my spleen, that it was time for a change of perspective. A change is, as they say, as good as a rest, so I hope this post will prove to be a breath of fresh air to those who may feel that I've been awfully negative of late. And if you do feel that way, I wouldn't blame you, because I have been. And that's not something I enjoy. I would far rather have something positive to post about. Or something that's a source of entertainment or knowledge. Anyhow, I do completely understand that the problems I'm having in this flat are absolutely insignificant when compared to so many of the tragedies that people all over the world are facing every day, every minute of every day, even. Yes, my mother and I are having a really hard time figuring out where the heck to put my modem now that we've moved my desk into the bedroom because the phone jack is in a really stupid place. It's in the furthest corner of the room on the wall near the headboard of my bed, so it's not easy to get to. And of course we have to use a fairly short phone cord, otherwise my internet signal will get disrupted. So yeah, we're having a hard time trying to figure out where to put the modem, unless we get the phone jack moved, which is going to cost money and create a lot of work. But that's nothing earth-shattering now, is it? We're also trying to figure out how to arrange my living room so that I can have furniture that will give me enough eating and work and storage space while at the same time retaining the open feel of the room. But when compared to a lot of other people's problems, that's totally insignificant. So my life isn't all that terrible. And I would like to try and expiate my sin of negativity by discussing something really positive that happened this morning. First of all, I should say that last night I brought my computer out to my living room, to the kitchen table, which unfortunately is rather bulky, so I think we're going to have to find something else. It's just too bulky to fit in here properly. I think we really are going to have to go with an island, you know. I don't really want to, but at the same time I can see where my mother's coming from, that it might be the thing that works best of all. And we can probably find some nice padded stools, she thinks. The island will only be counter height, so the stools shouldn't be that high. So again, this isn't so bad. Anyway, I brought my computer out to the living room last night, to the kitchen table, and brought the sound bar that my brother very kindly got for me on Wednesday. It's actually a nice sound bar. The sound is a little bassier than I would like, but actually maybe that's a good thing because I had to put it behind the laptop. It's quite a bulky sound bar with a speaker that goes all the way along the front. So I put it behind the laptop and now I'm kind of glad it has a punchier sound to it because otherwise the laptop would block the sound, I think. So I've got the computer out here in the living room now and I've made it work. So as I say, things are not so bad. The modem's in a really stupid place for the moment. We'll have to try and figure something out. God knows how that's going to work out, but it will somehow. So, on to more positive things. As I said at the end of my last post, I'm beginning to realize that my initial impression of the new minister at church was completely erroneous. For some reason, based on the first 2 sermons I heard him preach and a couple of sessions with the search committee, of which I was a part, I fancied that he was a capital C conservative of the evangelical fundamentalist stripe, and that did not appeal to me at all. Also, his delivery at first seemed to me to be rather passionless, dry, unenthusiastic. Well, I am more than happy to admit that the past few weeks have proved my initial impression to be absolutely wrong. In fact, He totally rocked my socks this morning by managing to relate Old Testament theology, he's preaching a sermon series this fall on Exodus, with the sacrament of communion by joining them with Celtic spirituality. It was bloody brilliant. So what he said was this. The ancient Celts believed that there was only 3 feet between the earthly realm and the other world, heaven, if you like. And that there were places in the world where the veil between the worlds got thin and one could catch a glimpse of the other world. Rolling oceans, he said. Waters on either side of a causeway, for example, were places that the Celts revered for the thinness between the worlds. So he talked about how in Exodus, when God parted the Red Sea so the children of Israel could walk on dry land, that was a thinning place in the veil between the worlds. Then he said something to me that was profoundly beautiful. Rather simplistic, perhaps, but no less true for all that. He said that he thought the communion table was another one of those thinning places because we could catch a glimpse into the other world, the kingdom of God, by partaking of God's grace at the Lord's Supper. He, of course, mentioned that the ancient Celts also believed that really old trees and stone circles were also thinning places. So, yeah, I thought that anybody who could unite Exodus with New Testament communion theology by mentioning Celtic spirituality was actually pretty darn cool. And worthy of my favor. He also discussed, he posited the notion that when we partake of communion, we are saved over and over again by God's grace. And then he went on to say that there was this professor called Carl Bard who wrote a book entitled 6 Million Words About God, something to that effect anyway. Well, this professor gave a talk at a southern university in the States, a Christian university, probably of a Baptist stripe. After his presentation, one of the students came up to him and said, "Oh, Professor Bard, you've written so much about God. You must have been saved at some point in your life. When were you saved?" Well, Professor Bard said this. Again, rather simplistic perhaps, but absolutely beautiful in spite of its simplicity, or perhaps because of its simplicity. Professor Bard said, "Oh yes, I was saved. It was on a spring afternoon on a hill overlooking Jerusalem, 2,000 years ago." Well, when I heard that, folks, I wanted to clap. I had a hard time controlling myself. I either wanted to clap or yell out, "Amen." Sometimes the Spirit moves me in that way. So I thought, absolutely right. In fact, I thought, damn straight is what I thought. I thought that's exactly when I was saved too. I never understood all this talk of being saved by finding one's belief in Jesus. Jesus believed in me long before I ever believed in him. And even if you hold a completely contrary opinion to this, and if you do, you're perfectly entitled to that opinion. God still loves you,